What is the great symbol of the Holy Spirit? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas, and this is Probe. Welcome to this dialogical discussion of biblical ideas and thoughts sponsored by the Walla Walla College School of Theology. We are in the process of talking this quarter about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is sometimes a little difficult to understand and to pin down. And it's interesting that the writers of the Bible, in their attempts to help us understand, oftentimes resort to the use of symbols to explain the Holy Spirit. And by talking about things that are known, they extrapolate to the unknown and thereby improve our understanding. I'm happy today to have again two conversation partners, Dr. Zdravko Stefanovic, Old Testament professor, and Dr. Carl Kosart, specialized in the New Testament. Welcome, gentlemen, as we talk about this today.
Thank you.
In the Bible, there are quite a few symbols of the Holy Spirit, and I thought I would just quickly mention some. You can find the symbol of the wind, a dove, water, oil, a guarantee, light, fire. There are others as well. But I wonder, as we try to understand the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is not so hard to understand, but the person is more difficult. And I think it's very important for us to understand that, because the Holy Spirit is the one who applies the benefits of God's activity, especially at Calvary, to people's lives. But as you think about these symbols, gentlemen, what comes to mind? For example, the wind. When the Holy Spirit is spoken of as the wind, what do we learn from that?
Wind is very powerful. I mean, been down south, and you know what hurricanes can do, stirring up the waters and damage and tornadoes. And
yeah, I hadn't thought of a hurricane when it came to wind, but that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit might be like a hurricane.
Yes. On the positive side, I lived in the tropics, and very often when days were hot, we appreciated breeze, mm-hmm. especially late in the afternoon.
Or a gentle breeze.
And that also is an analogy, you know, fitting for the Holy Spirit. And that is when things look like very much frozen or unchanged for some time, then the Holy Spirit comes in and things begin to change. So there is that type of dynamics.
Mm-hmm. I like the dynamic of the wind, too, because I think as we struggle to understand the Holy Spirit, I mean, the wind is such a perfect symbol, because it shows the fact that we're humans, and trying to get our minds around this, something we can't see, but something we can't touch, but it impacts our lives in many, many ways.
Yeah, like the wind, you can see the results of it, but you can't see the wind itself. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. You know, this symbol intrigues me largely because I saw it illustrated once in a children's story where a man came to church to talk to the children about the Holy Spirit, and he pulled out of a little paper bag a balloon. This was in church. And he proceeded, while he was talking, to blow this balloon up. And he was quoting there, I think, from John 3, where Jesus talked about the Spirit blowing mm-hmm. as it wills. And at one point, he turned this balloon loose in church. And you know how those things just... And the kids were fascinated. Some of the older folks were horrified.
Yes,
but, you know, that's always stuck in my mind. And do we need to be a little bit afraid of the unpredictability? Does the Holy Spirit really shoot around the room like a out-of-control balloon? I don't think that's true, but...
But we can't control it.
And that's the point. It's not there for us to control.
Yeah. Yeah. For the sake of the listeners who may be driving right now in their car, I would like to read John 3:8,
please,
because you have mentioned it. Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." Mm. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Yeah. So that's actually, that's almost talking about the effect of the Spirit on us just as much as it's the Spirit itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. What about a dove? Do you have any thoughts on the dove? I think John 1:32, Jesus talks about, or the Holy Spirit is depicted as a dove.
In the culture of the Bible, people refer to animals and birds sometimes in the ways that may not be politically correct.
Okay.
There were stereotypes when we talk about a sheep, a goat. Doves were usually considered as gentle birds, mm-hmm. innocent, and maybe a few other things could be added to them.
Well, politically correct or not, I mean, it was definitely not a buzzard. So I think they're different connotations.
Yeah, in fact, the Holy Spirit, I was thinking about that, the Holy Spirit is not portrayed as a crow or a falcon or a buzzard, but as a dove.
And that maybe a sense those are those birds of prey, maybe, so they're different emphasis.
Or they're scavengers, mm-hmm.
yes.
See. So, you gentlemen who know quite a bit about biblical times, when people heard of the or they saw the Holy Spirit depicted as a dove, this would have been a happy symbol to them. I mean, or a good one.
Actually, it's both. It goes both ways because in the Old Testament, the name of the prophet Jonah means dove.
Okay.
And in the book of Hosea, it's interesting that the word is used to portray the northern nation of Samaria or Ephraim, and the text says Ephraim is like a silly dove.
Mm.
He goes down to Egypt asking for help, then to Assyria. You know, he will go anywhere to ask for help except from God.
Yeah.
And then God says, you know, I'm going to cast my net over him and catch him. And he won't be able to do that. So it can go both ways, but there is this notion, just like with the wind metaphor of mobility,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. doves, mm-hmm. they move from place to place, they connect people and so on. So it can be positive and negative.
Hi, you just triggered my mind that actually one of the other things about the wind is its mobility. There's no place where the wind mm-hmm. doesn't blow. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit, John 7:37-39, is water. And water, of course, is a powerful symbol of a number of things in the Bible. What comes to mind when you think of the Holy Spirit as symbolized by water?
I mean, there's so many things, but I think with water, I think primarily of purification, a cleansing. I mean, he comes and he communicates to us, you know, the cleansing we have in Christ, and he cleanses us.
And that's an interesting thought because the water does show up as an agent of cleansing many times in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes used to wash clothes, sometimes used to wash a person, sometimes used to wash sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
So when people hear about that, maybe that triggered in their minds the idea of the Holy Spirit as an agent of cleansing.
And what I like to tell my students in class is that if they ever travel to unknown places in Afro-Asian countries, if they need water for whatever purpose, they should ask for the closest holy place.
Oh, really?
Every temple, every shrine, every place of prayer would have an abundant supply of water because people like to be clean before they appear
yeah.
before God. And yeah. and this is not tied just to one religion.
No, even in the Muslim faith, there are ritual washings.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking also of the effect of water on dry, parched ground.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived through several droughts, not very serious droughts, but I mean to the point where the ground is so dry that it cracks open, and things are dying, and then the effect of a gentle rain on that is almost miraculous, and how water can soften even the hardest
yes.
ground and make it pliable and productive again. And I think when I think of the Spirit and water, water can be very dynamic and very destructive, mm-hmm. but a gentle rain can be a great blessing.
You know, it's interesting because in John 3 we get the analogy of the wind, mm-hmm. which is this personal conversation with Nicodemus. In John 4 you get another one of these conversations, this time Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And the analogy of water comes up again. I mean, Jesus asked her for a drink and, yeah. kind of, you know, this stagnant water from a well, but he says, I could have given you living water. So,
yeah.
Water is life-giving. And
yeah. And the Holy Spirit is compared to water. So. What about oil, Stravko? Oil shows up as a symbol of the Holy Spirit in a number of places, I think even in the Old Testament, no?
That's true.
That must be good, right?
Yes, in the book of the prophets, in the books of the prophets like Zechariah,
yeah,
and in the New Testament in Matthew 25, and oil did make difference in people's lives.
Why do you think that the Bible writers link the Holy Spirit with oil? Do you see any lessons?
Several. And in addition to being used as part of their daily diet, people would need some type of light in the evening when it gets dark, because in the Bible lands it gets dark earlier than elsewhere, and therefore there are long evening hours, and it is oil in their lamps that it was oil that provided light for them, and that was very important to them. So without that light, their activities would be limited. And therefore, it did make a difference.
So we can understand the Holy Spirit as a light-giving entity.
Yes, and you know what the Bible compares to a life without God, without a spiritual component, is like a lamp without oil in it, inability to provide light.
And of course, light is another symbol used in the Bible for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and that is why oil and light are important also for Christian witnessing. They illustrate what Christian witnessing is all about.
Yeah, when I think of the Holy Spirit as light, I'm intrigued. And one of the things that intrigues me about light is that you don't need very much of it to dispel darkness. That I remember as a boy making underground houses. Probably a dangerous thing to dig tunnels like that, but they were always near the surface. But I remember how dark it would be in there, but if you took one little candle, that as long as you didn't hold it in front of your face and were blinded by the light, you know, it lightened up the whole thing here. So, another one, fire. What about these examples in the Bible, like Matthew 3:11, where the Holy Spirit is connected to fire?
It's interesting, each of these analogies, I mean, these are the basic building blocks of survival of life. I mean, you need water, you need oil, you need fire, showing the essential nature, I think, of the Spirit. Things hard to control.
Very practical language that is used. Matthew 3:11 says, it quotes John the Baptist saying, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
So, I mean, and fire in traditional cultures is used for cooking and also for keeping warm.
That's right.
See, so.
And also to purify things. Yes. Very often it's used as a metaphor in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is why fire is a common metaphor for God's presence.
You know, my favorite one is that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee, which to me shows the confidence we can have, because although we're still in this ongoing plan of salvation, we know for sure that the Spirit will keep us faithful to the end.
Yeah, and the guarantee is good if it's backed by a reliable person. Otherwise, it's not very good.
So very true.
I think in the case of the Holy Spirit, we don't have
very
to
confident,
worry about it.
Very confident.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for this. You know, by thinking about these different symbols, we are able to learn some different nuances and gain some different ideas about the Holy Spirit and how He can work in our lives. On the whole, as I've talked with you, this has been very comforting to realize these different parameters of the Holy Spirit. So, my thanks to Susan Michaels, our engineer, too, and to you for listening. For Probe, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.